Do you all make New Year's resolutions? Do you keep resolutions? That's probably the question I need to be asking, right? So I kind of looked up, you know, you can Google anything these days, but what are the top 10 New Year's resolutions? You probably know. Number one is going to be to lose weight or exercise more. They go hand in hand, so that's one and two. So exercise more, lose weight. Number three was to get organized. Number four was to learn a new skill or take up a new hobby. Then it was live life to the fullest. Then it was save more money and spend less money. So I don't know how you live life to the fullest if you're going to save more money and spend less money. They kind of go hand in hand, right? And maybe it's quitting a habit. This one was very specifically to quit smoking. Spend more time with family and friends. To travel more. To read more. I've made some of those same resolutions over the years, only to find that I fail oftentimes by February. So I have come to the conclusion that at the beginning of a new year, that it's a great time for me to recommit my life to Christ. It's a time for me to renew my covenant relationship with Him. It's time for me to acknowledge my total dependence on Jesus, because I can't do any of that on my own. It's by Him and through Him that I can keep some of the promises and resolutions that I make. I can do nothing apart from Him, but through Him, I can do all things. Amen? So on this first Sunday of 2023, the message title is New and Renew. If you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you might not be aware of the new life that He can give you. So I would strongly urge you right off the bat this morning, if that's you, to turn away from yourself, to turn away from sin, and turn toward Jesus. There's an old spiritual that has been sung throughout the ages at Christmas. And I remember as a pastor, our children's choir, they would sing this enthusiastic. And the lyrics are like this. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek, and mild. And here are the next words. New life, new hope, new joy He brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. So today could be a new day for you. New life, new hope, new joy if you trust Jesus with your life. But for those of us who have already trusted Jesus, this is a great time for us to renew our commitment, our covenant with Him. Amen? And thus the message, new and renew, based on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. So if you have your Bibles or if you're looking at the screen, I encourage you to now read and to hear God's word. Paul says this to the church at Rome. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of his word to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, would you use the words of Paul as he encouraged the church at Rome to encourage the church right here at Salem. Lord, how important it is as we approach a new year that our minds would be fixed upon you, that you would renew our thinking, our minds, to be more like Jesus. And Lord, my prayer is that as a result of that, you would speak to us and that you would use us as you have gifted us to serve you, the church, and others. Lord, help us to be more like you. You were a servant, one who deserved to be served, and yet you humbled yourself and gave us the example of servanthood. So, Lord, would you speak to us through this passage today? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, renew your mind. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then secondly, I believe he's saying to renew your serve. Renew your service. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us then use them. Paul says, and he uses this word, I urge, or I beseech, if you're using another translation, I beseech or I urge you in the view of mercies of God. Notice that Paul is not commanding the church, but rather he is pleading with the church. He's strongly urging us to do what? He says to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act or your reasonable service. He goes on to say, do not be conformed to this world, which means don't be modeled or shaped by the pressures of the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but to me it says if we're going to be changed, it has to be from the inside out. We have to change what we think. In other words, we have to renew or reprogram our minds with the truths of God's word, because his ways are higher than ours, right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we've got to be thinking like Jesus. I know for years we had the bracelet that said, what would Jesus do? And then we said, well, not so much what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do and do it? So now I would encourage you this morning, what would Jesus be thinking? And let's think like Jesus. And when we start thinking like Jesus, it changes what we personally believe and know what he means by what he thinks, and therefore it changes our behavior as well. So simply put this morning, let's think like Jesus. Renew our minds to think like Jesus, to have the mind of Christ. So how do we do that? Let me just give you a few practical suggestions, ways that I think we can renew our mind. First of all, renew what you read. What are you feeding your mind? Someone has recently issued a 12-book challenge for the coming year on Facebook. Anybody seen that? Okay. So it sounds good at first because people are recommending books for you to read. You're choosing a book per month. But to be honest with you, you're at the mercy of the people that are making the suggestions. You're going to choose the first 12 that is suggested to you. Instead, I would encourage you to be very intentional in what you are reading. I think if we're going to renew our minds, we have to be intentional to read his word. I'm like, why didn't everybody just put on there, the first book we need to be reading is the Bible, right? Secondly, read books that are not contrary to the word. Renew what you read. Secondly, I would encourage you to renew what you watch. What you see on TV, the movies that you're watching. And let me just say this. That you have to really research the content of TVs and movies these days. You have to look at the programming. What started out to be wholesome and family-friendly can and has become, in many cases, an indoctrination of the world's view. And we need to be feeding our eyes with a Christian worldview. All of these are places for good amens. Don't make me have to tell you when, okay? Number three, renew what you search. Renew what you search. I told you I Googled the top 10 resolutions, right? Well, renew what you search. Renew what you're looking at or looking at on the world wide web. And that probably means that we need to be putting safeguards and parameters and filters on our phone and our computers. And I actually think we need to take it a step further to the point of giving our spouses, our parents, or an accountability partner access to our technology to help us to search only things that honor the Lord. That's a real good place for an amen. Number four, renew right relationships. Accountability relationships, mentoring relationships. We need others to help us stay true to our commitment to Christ and His precepts. That might mean that that's your Sunday school class, that's your discipleship group, that's two or three men or two or three women that you meet with on a regular basis, or a mentoring relationship. But we need others in this journey of faith. And so Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I think we renew our mind by what we read and what we watch and what we search and the relationships that we have. And I think that's a good reminder on this New Year's Day. But Paul also speaks about service in this passage. Serve. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. Let us serve. I had no idea your pastor was going to be talking about a meeting when your ministry teams were going to be getting together and looking at vision and how you're going to carry that out as teams, but how appropriate as the Lord would have it this morning. What pastors want from church members? I can say that today because Pastor Jeff is not here, right? He didn't give me this list, by the way. Dr. Chuck Lawless, who is Dean and Vice President of Graduate Studies and Ministries at Southeastern Seminary, he's one of my professors. He polled some pastors, and this is what they said. This is what we want from church members. Pray. Pray regularly for me as a pastor. The pastor said, I know you pray for me when I ask for it, and I admit I typically ask only when there's a problem or something that I need. But oftentimes I don't even ask you to pray for me. I take responsibility for that omission, but I still want to know that you pray for me anyway. Pastors need that encouragement to know that you're praying for them. Another pastor says, serve. I want our church members to serve and ask, how can I serve? Sometimes our churches don't do a great job of recruiting, but we know that God wants us to be a part of the body of Christ. So the pastor says, let me know of your willingness to serve somewhere in the church. What pastors want for church members, they want you to give. Give more sacrificially. Most of us don't like to preach about money, but we know the Bible calls for us to give toward His work. And so your sacrificial giving helps us do that work. And frankly, the pastor says, helps relieve the leadership burden about churches, about our church paying their bills. Another pastor said, I want our church members to consider my family. Let my family be who they are. My wife might not be able to play the piano or be a missions leader, but she's the person that God gave me as a helpmate. My kids are just that, kids, so please don't hold them to a higher expectation than other kids. That's kind of a good reminder, right? What pastors want from other members, they want members to evangelize, to tell others the gospel story. This pastor said, I commit that I'll share the good news of Jesus whenever I preach the word, but I need your help in going out and reaching our community. Even if you don't feel equipped to do evangelism, you can tell other people what Jesus means to you. Another pastor said, discipleship. And be honest about your journey of faith. Be honest that you've never been discipled. This pastor said, I know that your story might be like mine. Nobody really invested in me when I first followed Jesus. And you want to serve Him faithfully, but no one has walk with you along the way to help you get there. And this pastor says, I want to help you, but I need to know where you are honestly. Another pastor says to church members, I want relationships. Relationship. Talk with me rather than talk about me. Not only is it biblical to talk to a brother first when trying to resolve conflict, but it's also the case that a simple conversation can often settle an issue. So a small flicker doesn't always have to become a big flame. Another pastor says, I want our church members to be accountable. The accountability is important. Follow me as I follow the Lord. Hold me accountable. Just as I want you to be accountable to me, I want to be accountable to you as we follow the Lord together. Another pastor said, I want trust. Trust my heart when you disagree with my decisions. The pastor said, to be frank, I grant that some pastors have proven their heart is not where it needs to be, so I really do understand why you might be reticent here. At the same time, if you trust my heart overall, keep trusting me when we differ. Tell me your concerns, but do so as a brother or sister who loves me. These are things that pastors said they would want from church members. Up near the top of that list was the word serve. Serve. Serve the Lord. Serve the church. Serve each other. I don't know if you've ever wondered why God wants believers to be servants. I believe, first of all, He modeled it for us, so we want to be more like Him, so therefore we would become servants, right? But that's a good question for us to ask. Why serve? Let me give you these reasons. Number one, you were created to serve. God has created us for a life of good deeds, which He has already prepared for us to do. Paul said that to the church at Ephesus. Number two, you are saved to serve. It is He who saved us and chose us for His holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan. Number three, you're called to serve. He saved us and called us to be His own people, not because of what we have done, but because of His own purposes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Why serve? Because we've been commanded to serve. Jesus said, your attitude must be like my own, for I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. And then finally, you are shaped to serve. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Ephesians 2:10. So why do we serve? We serve because we were created to serve, we are saved to serve, we're called to serve, we are commanded to serve, and we are shaped to serve. So how do we serve? Here we are approaching a new year. How do we serve the Lord and His church and His people? I would encourage you to discover your spiritual shape. Now, there's a picture of a man and woman that's out walking in the neighborhood. I've got to tell you, on the way here this morning, I saw people walking and jogging I don't normally see doing that. And so they're trying to get in physical shape. But let me encourage you with your spiritual shape this morning. And here's the acrostic, right? The S stands for spiritual gifts. The H stands for your heart or what you're passionate about. The A stands for your natural abilities. P, personality. That's your personality. E are your experiences in life. If we want to get in shape in 2023, I'm not talking about the physical shape, but I'm talking about the spiritual shape. So today, Paul is saying, serve the Lord through your spiritual shape. And he talks very specifically about exercising spiritual gifts. He says, don't think too highly or too lowly of yourself, but to think of yourself with sober judgment. It literally means we are to examine ourselves with this balanced thinking, an honest, open, and true assessment of ourselves. So we need to see ourselves in the context of the body of Christ and the role that we have as members of the body. So with this role, God has given to each of us spiritual grace gifts. Now, we don't need to confuse spiritual gifts from natural talents or abilities. I can't play the piano like Daniel can, right? That's a natural ability. I know that he's learned some things along the way, but that's a natural ability that God gave him. He didn't give me that. But at our spiritual birth, he gave us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are God's gift to every believer. Spiritual gifts are God's empowered ability. Spiritual gifts cannot be earned or deserved. Spiritual gifts are expressions of God's grace to you. Spiritual gifts are the benefit of others. They're for the benefit of others. And folks, this should motivate us to serve the Lord and to serve others. So remember, the pastor wants members who are willing to serve. And how do we serve? We serve out of God's empowerment, His Holy Spirit's empowerment through spiritual gifts. And so in Paul's letters, one to the church at Rome that we're reading today, chapter 12, and then again to the church at Corinth, it was the first letter, chapter 12 as well, you could easily compile a list of spiritual gifts. So you might have the gift of administration, which means that you can lead the body by steering others to remain on task. You enable the body to organize according to God's given purposes and long-term goals. That's 1 Corinthians 12:28. Some of you have that gift of administration. Some of you recognize that gift in others, right? And then there are others who say, I'm not a good administrator, right? So what spiritual gift do you have? It could be teaching, for instance, instructing members in the truths and the doctrines of God's Word. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4. If not administration and teaching, maybe it's prophecy. The gift of prophecy is proclaiming the Word of God boldly. This builds up the body of Christ. It leads to the conviction of sin. Prophecy manifests itself in preaching and teaching. Maybe you have the gift of exhortation. I know that I'm always encouraged by you folks when I come to be here. It's like coming home. And that's because some of you have the gift of exhortation. You are an encouragement, enthusiastic about the work of the Lord. Paul speaks about that in verse 8. Then there's the gift of shepherding. The gift of shepherding is manifested in persons who look out for the spiritual welfare of others. And by the way, this is not limited to pastors and staff. This could be a Sunday school teacher. This could be a deacon, for instance, or a small group leader, someone who has the gift of shepherding. There's the gift of evangelism, or the evangelist. Lead others to Christ effectively, enthusiastically. Paul speaks of that in Ephesians 4, verse 11. There's the gift of service and helps, recognizing practical needs in the body of Christ and joyfully giving assistance to meet those needs. See a need and meet those needs. Paul speaks of that in 1 Corinthians and then again, chapter 12, verse 7 of Romans. The gift of mercy, cheerful acts of compassion, aiding the body by having empathy with hurting members. You help keep the body healthy and unified by keeping others aware of the needs within the church. Paul speaks of that in verse 8. There's the gift of giving. Members with the gift of giving give freely and joyfully to the work and the mission of the body. We read in verse 8. There's discernment. You might have the gift of discernment, recognizing the true intentions of those within or related to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. And then there again is the gift of exhortation that's mentioned in verse 8. And the pastor would say, that he would ask you, how can I serve? You would be asking him, and he would say, through your spiritual gifts, right? And you would say, I have the spiritual gift of this. How can I use this supernatural gift that God has given me to serve him and others through this church? Let me ask you this morning. I think I've shared this with you before. Probably not a good question to ask you at the beginning of a new year. Do you want to be a fat servant? Do you? Have I asked you that before? Faithful, available, trainable? You would probably have answered no at the beginning of the new year. You want to lose weight. You want to exercise. But a fat servant is faithful and available and trainable. And then I ask you, do you want to be a team servant? Because team means that together everyone accomplishes more, right? There's no I in team. Regardless of the sport, if it's a team sport, everyone is vital and has a very important role to play. In football, you have to have a quarterback to call the plays and execute the handoff or the pass, which means that you need a running back to rush the ball, or you need a receiver to catch the ball, not to mention the line that protects and opens holes for the runner to advance. Even special teams play a very important role in punting the ball or kicking extra points or field goals. Just ask Ohio State. And I mentioned this morning, Larry, because, you know, the blame goes on the kicker, right? But somebody had to hike the ball. And someone had to place the ball down in order for the kicker to make an accurate kick. And the line had to protect so the kick was not blocked. So it takes a team, right? Don't forget those that are on the sidelines that are cheering them on, that want to come into the game at a split second's notice. So there's no one not needed on the team. And Paul is saying, God needs you on the team. We've heard from pastors today that said, we want you on the team. We need you to serve alongside with us. And Paul says, you're members of God's team. We're individual members with different gifts and roles to play, but part of the same team. You're part of God's team, and everyone is needed in order for Salem Baptist Church to function at its fullest potential. We know the statistics. 10% of the church accomplishes 90% of the ministry. But I don't believe that that is the case at Salem Baptist Church. But it still doesn't mean that everyone is on board or where we need to be to renew our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know of a better time for you and I to commit and to recommit or to sign up to be on God's team than on the first Sunday of the year, 2023. So I want to encourage you with Paul this morning to renew your mind. Don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to be more like Christ. I want to have the mind like Christ. I want to think like Christ in 2023. And then renew your serve. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. More service for Him and more service for others. And so I always come up with some kind of little catchphrase as I'm beginning a new chapter, right? Less of me in 23. That is so cheesy. But I'll remember that. Less of me in 23, which means if it's less of me, it's more of Him. More of His word, more of His mind, more thinking like Him. And if I'm thinking like Him, I'm not going to be thinking about me, but I'm going to be thinking about Him, and I'm going to be thinking about His church, and I'm going to be thinking about others, and I'm going to want to serve the way He has created and recreated me to serve Him faithfully. Does that make sense? 2023. Happy New Year. Joyful New Year. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the way that Paul spoke to the church. The time for renewal of the mind in order to be more like Christ. The time to renew and to recognize and to use the spiritual gifts that only God Himself would give us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't want to waste those gifts. I don't want to use them selfishly for my personal gain or accomplishments or to reach worldly standards or goals. But Lord, I want to use these gifts that you've given for your purpose, for the ministry that is before us, for the life of your church, and for the advancement of the gospel. Help me to be a better team member in 2023. Help me to have a better mind for Christ. Help me to renew my commitment, my covenant relationship with you. Help me to renew that today. Recognizing the fact that you can only renew something that was once new. And so there could be someone here this morning who has never trusted Jesus. They've never experienced this new life that only Jesus can give. So I pray that today would be a new day for them. While the rest of us were talking about renewing our relationship with you, today could very easily be the day of salvation for someone. New life in Jesus. And I pray by your Holy Spirit, if that's the case this morning, they would be willing to just walk this aisle or to pray with me or to pray with other ministers or elders or deacons in the church, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would not hesitate. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and way, and you would give them the boldness to make that decision today. New and renew. And likewise, I pray that we, those who are believers already, would have the boldness to say, Lord, I need today, at the beginning of 2023, I need to renew my relationship with you. I want to be faithful. I want to have your mind, and I want to serve you faithfully. May we commit to that today, we pray, and we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.